Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, here we go. 9:09. What you're about to hear is going to get you angry if you like college sports, but it is the new reality. It is where we are, and nothing's going to change, and it ain't going back. And with that, we welcome in Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tommy. Thanks for having me back.
I think that was a fair disclaimer, don't you?
I do think it's a fair disclaimer. Things are changing a lot. They don't all have to be bad. Mm-hmm. But if you want the world to stay as it was in 1996, you're probably not going to enjoy the next 15 minutes.
I think
that's fair.
Although, I should add, just to be fair, that maybe it's not as much of a change as much as a formalization as it relates to college athletes being compensated. And I always, with you, like to go back and give the historical underpinnings of this. First, though, Matt, tell me about the Extra Points newsletter.
Sure. Extra Points is a newsletter that covers business, policy, and off-the-field stories in the college athletics industry. I'm a longtime sports writer. It's been publishing for the last 5 years and is read by conference commissioners, athletic directors, sports management professionals, and diehard fans all over the country, from the largest Division I programs to the NAIA.
So let me read. Now let's get back to the underpinnings of this for people that are saying, paying college athletes, that's crazy. Give me the history of this.
Sure. I mean, people have been paying college athletes as a way of encouraging them to attend particular schools or stay at particular schools since the 19th century, really, certainly since the very beginnings of formalized college football. And, you know, those deals would look differently, but the bagman behavior from Yale and Princeton and Harvard would make any Tiger Droppings message board poster blush, I think, from the beginnings. How we've defined amateurism has changed quite a bit over the last 100 years. There was a time when the idea of offering an athletic scholarship would veer too far into paying for playing, and now that's considered fine everywhere. The idea of giving somebody laundry money was considered verboten, and now that's okay. And we're moving into an era now beyond just allowing athletes to make money for their name, image, and likeness via endorsement opportunities, but we're heading into an era in just a few weeks where, for the first time, universities will be able to pay athletes significant money directly from the university athletic department budget for participating in sports. So where we are now would be completely unrecognizable to an NCAA defender in like 1955.
So I'm reading a story here from CBS Sports dated June 3rd, Marathon legal battle regarding player compensation and the makeup of college athletics in a landmark multi-billion dollar antitrust case took another turn Monday night. What turn was that, Matt?
Well, the turn right now that is has surprised a lot of people working in the industry is last year, the basic framework for the settlement of this huge antitrust case, which is you'll read in the papers as the House case. It's not the U.S. House. It's referring to Grant House, Arizona State swimmer. But the broad parameters of this settlement, in addition to paying all kinds of back payments to athletes, you know, from the last couple of years, it creates essentially a salary cap system saying, all right, schools, you can spend up to $20.5 million. You can count some of that money as scholarships and you can pay the rest to athletes. And that settlement was supposed to be finalized and approved by a federal judge 6 weeks ago. The new academic year, the new athletic year starts July 1st. And there are hundreds and hundreds of contracts with athletes that are going into effect or supposed to go into effect July 1st, and the settlement has not yet been approved. Could happen any day now. It's still expected to happen, but we are definitely approaching some white-knuckle territory for not just ADs, but athletes and agents and everybody in this ecosystem, because now it's not totally certain how people will be paid if this settlement isn't approved in time.
So this is a massive legal case.
Massive.
That not only looks back, but sets rules going forward, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Everybody in Division I that opts into this settlement, everyone in Division I, period, is responsible for paying some of these back damages, whether you're LSU or Southeastern Louisiana or McNeese State. You can opt in to the settlement and then participate in the revenue sharing moving forward. So it's a way of thinking about it is this is kind of like a collective bargaining agreement for big-time college football and basketball players without having a union.
And who is deciding to represent, first of all, when it comes to looking back? I know there's a class because it's class action, right? But who decides if they're a member of the class and if they don't want to join that class in the class action, do they, and I say that just to, you know, differentiate between class of 75 or whatever, but
sure.
If they don't want to join that class, can they then bring suit against the university they attended or not?
Yes. The way that it worked is you have a statute of limitations for antitrust cases. So it's just for, you know, athletes that participated at the Division I level. I want to say it was over the last decade. And then you would get multiple letters and emails, just like, you know, some of us might if we are potential members of a class action suit against Facebook or against
AT&T, whomever. I've gotten them before and gotten a 12-cent settlement check.
Right? and for many athletes as part of the settlement, that's what they'll end up getting, right? If you ran track at Northwestern State or something in 2016, you might get $40. And there's economists and plaintiff's attorneys and everybody else is trying to calculate how much you might get depending on what sport you played and how many times you were on TV. And, you know, for some people, it may end up being hundreds of thousands of dollars. For some, it might be, you know, enough for a nice dinner and one weekend out. But you don't have to opt in. And about several hundred players decided not to opt in so they could preserve their rights to sue separately. Those cases might take another 2-3, maybe more years to work their way through the court system. Maybe they get a better deal. Maybe they don't. These things don't move very quickly.
So I guess also if I'm an athlete, if I ran track at Northwestern State, no disrespect to Bobby Hebert or the Demons, Forkham Demons, right?
Sure.
But if I was an athlete there, if I were in the Olympics, then I would think I would be wanting more money than if I weren't in the Olympics, right? My value would have been more.
But you know, potentially, one of the frustrating things as reporters is that the specific formulas weren't calculated and shared with the general public. Those are under seal during these negotiations. But the crux of the matter isn't how good of an athlete you were. It was what kind of name, image, and likeness value were you denied.
Well, and that's why I mentioned the Olympics. Not that
sure.
You were good enough for the Olympics, but when you said television, well, if you were on the Olympics, then they mentioned that you were going to Northwestern State. And I don't mean to get caught in the minutiae there, but I think it just goes to illustrate, Matt, how complicated this is.
It is enormously complicated, just like with any class action lawsuit, because we're dealing really with thousands of potential edge cases. because your valuation isn't just determined by what jersey you're wearing and how many times you were on television or how many snaps you played. You have marketability metrics that are independent of that. You know, if maybe you ran track in Northwestern State, but you were like Libby Dunn and you had 11 gajillion Instagram followers and you missed out on an opportunity to sell hair care products and energy drinks, even if you weren't a particularly noteworthy runner, you know, that may have been part of this here too. So I don't think I can speak to exactly how much money each individual person is getting in back damages. I think for a fan, the probably the more interesting and impactful thing is what this settlement and what these terms mean moving forward, because it really changes how roster management and construction works and how budgeting works for everybody in Division One across basically every single college sport.
Well, let's move on to that, because the House settlement is part of a civil proceeding, but then there's talk of presidential commission or congressional movement that would involve, I guess, regulation, not part of this civil House settlement, right? That's different, separate and distinct?
They're very, very much separate and distinct. And I understand this can be kind of confusing, but you have two parallel conversations happening right now. You have what's happening with this specific lawsuit between conference commissioners and their attorneys, the NCAA's attorneys, and the plaintiff's attorneys, and a federal judge create this particular new compensation framework. There's a lot of people, both on the side of schools and on the side of athletes, who don't like this settlement. And one way to provide more stability would be for federal legislation to create a different kind of term, a different kind of setup for paying athletes. And schools have been pushing for this really for the last 4.5 years. Didn't really make any headway during the Biden administration, during divided Congresses. But now we have unified Republican control, albeit by narrow margins. Mm-hmm. They've tried again. And for the last several months, I can tell you that Senator Cruz, Senator Moran out of Kansas, and a couple of Democratic lawmakers have been working on a Senate bill that is designed to get some kind of bipartisan support that would create a single national standard for how NIL is supposed to work and athlete compensation. We'll see if that ends up getting out of committee. We'll see if the president signs it. The president also has his own independent interests in college athletics, which may or may not overlap with those. So
what are the president's interests in college athletics?
Well, I mean, he's interested insofar as he is a fan of college sports. Mm-hmm. Senator Tuberville, who is, of course, well-known in this neck of the woods, was really the engine, as I understand it, behind trying to set up a presidential White House commission to see, okay, what can President Trump do via executive order about not just NIL, but potentially changing the role of international athletes in college athletics, or changing the rules about who might be eligible for college athletics, or what happens to Olympic sports now that more funding is going to be diverted to football and basketball. That commission is currently on hold, and I say this not to be partisan, but I think to be realistic here. This White House is unpredictable, and what they say today may not necessarily be what they decide to do in a week and a half, depending on who else gets in the president's ear or what else happens with the news cycle. It just adds to a level of unpredictability for anybody in this industry trying to make future plans.
Now, let me take a break. We're going to digest what we've heard so far. We'll talk of private equity getting involved in college athletics, which just blows my mind. And somebody texted in, you know, it's like they said they're worried about debt and deficit. Why in the world should the federal government get involved in regulating college athletics? We can address that when we come back as well. And then there's another question that pops up via text. The president's already concerned about universities with different policies if they accept federal funding. Well, if the university accepts federal funding, does that affect what happens with their athletic department? And then is the federal government picking winners and losers here based on the other things that happen with the university? My head's just exploding here like the emoji. We're talking to Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, about what's going on with compensating college athletes, and it's supposed to happen on July 1st. It's June 4th, and who knows what's going to happen from here. We'll continue the conversation. You got any questions, 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is 9:29, talking to Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Point newsletter, about what's up with...
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And college athletes both looking ahead and looking back at previous athletes and compensation. So I asked you before the break, you know, and I got a text about this. You know, people are worried about debt and deficit. Why do we want the federal government getting involved in regulating college athletics instead of doing the other things the government should do? Thoughts?
I think that is a great question. And I don't want to tell anybody listening what they should or shouldn't feel about this, right? Because on one hand, I completely empathize with the idea that between the border and the deficit and trade policy and all these other issues, those are more important than LSU football. And you should focus on those, especially because, if we're being honest, most senators and their staffers are not experts in college sports. Yeah. We don't have very many former athletes in the Senate, and the dirty little secret is most of these people don't actually care about college athletics. They went to Yale, right? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, where we are now...
That's a good point you're making.
It's a good point. So, but one of the challenges right now that you'll hear from coaches and administrators and even some athletes is we're in a world where almost every state has different NIL policy. What's been changing over the last couple of months are now states changing rules or attempting to change rules to provide even preferential tax treatment to athletes for their NIL earnings and competing that way. What you have to disclose to the NCAA or schools, what your tax situation is, whether you're allowed to participate in NIL as a high schooler. It all varies state by state, and these rules change quite a bit. There's also a lot of concern about college athletes being potentially classified as a result of a court order as employees, which would, there are some people that will say that that's a real positive, but given different state laws, particularly in the South, that could make organization of athletics even more challenging. And so the argument is, at this point, since the NCAA can't make these rules themselves without being sued, and what we have is fundamentally like interstate commerce.
I was getting ready to say that. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Then this has to be the purview of the federal government, at least to create some kind of unified standard. Is this an ideal situation? I think I speak for almost everybody when I say no. And it's something that probably could have been headed off had Mark Emmert or other NCAA officials made different choices 10, 20 years ago. But that's not where we are.
Nope. So let's talk about universities that are being regulated by the government that accept federal funding, and then the government putting a thumb on the scale to either withdraw the funding if the university doesn't do what the federal government wants, if you look at the SEC and how many punters now are all over, really are coming from Australia, international athletes getting involved, basketball as well. What about international visas and the government getting involved in that as well? You do enter a murky area here, don't you?
You do, and this is terrifying for a lot of people in the industry. You know, to give a recent example, right? The this is tied up in federal court right now, but recently the White House, the federal government wrote to Harvard and said, guess what? You can't accept international students anymore. Mm-hmm. Harvard's suing. You know, they got in a stay. But about 23% of Harvard's entire athletic department are athletes who come from other countries, mm-hmm. to say nothing about the school themselves. You know, not a ton of Harvard football players, but swimmers and rowers and tennis athletes and track stars, a lot of them come from overseas. And that's true everywhere, even in the SEC. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of Australian punters, not a ton of Canadian or European college football players. There's a couple, but in basketball, this is becoming a bigger issue. And then in other sports, you might have half of your roster come from other places. That's very common in tennis, very common in golf and in swimming and in men's soccer. You have some conservatives who look at this and say, yeah, that's a problem. We're stunting the growth of American soccer and tennis because we're giving these scholarship opportunities or roster spots to kids from Spain and Belgium. And you'll have others that will tell you there aren't enough good high school tennis players to fill out a competitive roster. You want us to win. You want us to elevate excellence. Like these are where the players are. And also, we need these athletes and these international students to keep tuition down for everybody else because they typically pay full freight. This is an example of you know, everything in higher education is so complicated and tied together. And if you have an administration that's willing to put their thumb on the scales in one place, it will likely end up impacting athletics in other places. I'll tell you, I've talked to a couple of Power Four administrators who have said, you know, we set a couple of different budgets. We have our budget in case the House settlement's approved. We have one in case it's not. We have a budget in case Pell Grants get cut. Or in case some FAFSA reimbursement money gets delayed, because everybody, even private schools in Division I, accepts a lot of that money, or they accept GI Bill money, sometimes even within the athletic department. And that is a potential risk. If you take the federal government's money, mm-hmm. you might have to play by the federal government's rules, and those rules can change.
So let's talk about private equity firms getting involved in this. I don't know if you would buy a piece of an athletic program or equity firms would get investors money to fund.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell me about this.
Sure. So there have been a couple of entities that have been aggressively trying to get into the college sports space. And part of the reason that an individual school or a conference might be interested in this is we were talking earlier about having to, you know, potentially have $20.5 million to pay athletes. That was not an expense on the books 2 years ago. So that money's got to come from somewhere. You still have to upgrade and build at facilities. A lot of facilities are changing right now to add more premium seating, more sponsorship opportunities, the kind of things that you might see in the Superdome or in professional stadiums that don't exist at the same way in college. So there's now everyone needs more money, and there's a lot of additional expenses coming up. And if you're a public school, maybe you can sell some bonds, or you can fundraise a more traditional way, but you may also be interested in a huge cash infusion. And that's where an institutional investor or private equity might come in. It's harder because in college, you can't sell 10% of LSU to BlackRock. Mm. But what you could potentially do is say, all right, we're gonna park all of our revenues that we're getting from our SEC ESPN television contract and our licensing revenue and our ticket revenue and our sponsorship deals. And instead of those going to the LSU athletic department or the Texas athletic department, we're going to park them in this new company, a new LLC, you know, new co or something. And then we'll sell an equity stake to that in exchange for an investor coming in and giving us cash to make upgrades, just like a business like mine might potentially do that. I think there are massive, massive risks to this format. And that's part of the reason that it hasn't happened yet, even though many schools and leaders have taken meetings to potentially sell equity stakes. But that is an option available right now.
Somebody texted in, and we sometimes take things for granted. Explain what a private equity firm is, if you can. I know you're not a financial guy, but just what that would look like. Who would be buying a piece of whatever or investing in whatever?
No, so this is actually a really good question. I might not be the best person to answer this, but what I can tell you from the conversations I've heard in this industry is you might have a company that has a lot of private investor money, you know, billions of dollars in money here that will buy stakes in lots of different companies. And what the private equity firm hopes to do, which is maybe different from a bank or different from some other investors, is typically they want to buy into a company, make changes pretty quickly, mm-hmm. and then, you know, get out within 5 or 6 years. This happened to a lot of newspapers in this country. Mm-hmm. It didn't work out well for the newspapers. It's happened to a lot of retail companies and nursing homes and other industries, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it would be, all right, we're going to come in here, we're either going to fire some people or we're going to make some changes so we can drive up revenue and then get out. And the advantage is that you can not only get a lot of cash quickly, but you might be able to have expertise from that firm that can help you run your business a little bit better. The risk is you might be taking a lot of money and then ending up with a lot of debt and holding the bag when those guys exit, because they don't throw their money away.
And it's all about revenue. So depending on who owned what, the equity firm would be looking at return on investment, and they would decide not this school, not that school, this sport, not that sport, right?
But absolutely. I know one of the challenging things, I think, to understand when we talk about the business of college athletics is that in many ways – athletics very much is a business, right? They're trying to sell more tickets and sell more billboards and baseball cards and beer. But on the other hand, it also still runs as not a business, right? Like the goal of LSU athletics is not to turn a profit that Scott Woodward can personally pocket or send back to investors. It's a nonprofit. They're looking to reinvest that revenue. The goal ultimately is not just win on the field, but to improve the marketability and exposure and growth of this university, which means that they spend money on stuff right now that absolutely does not generate positive cash flow, like almost all Olympic sports or mental health programming for athletes or lots of other things. If you shift to a more explicitly pro-profit model, beyond what that might do for your tax exposure, that is one of the risks, because LSU might decide, yeah, we're okay losing $700,000 a year on tennis. BlackRock or you know, the Saudi investment firm or somebody else might say, no, we don't care about Title IX compliance. We don't care about about the Director's Cup. We care about cash. And so we want to make decisions that are aligned with cash. That is a risk that you run in this model.
And then as I understand it, private equity firms are not.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus D&C apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Necessarily known for improving the customer experience or customer services, they're known for making a buck, right?
Yeah, I mean, I admit, and maybe you feel this way too, Tommy, I'm a little bit biased because my primary exposure to this industry, as is with many of my colleagues, has come from private equity's investment in institutional media. Mm-hmm. A major reason why your local newspaper, whether you live in Louisiana or anywhere else in the country, a big reason why your local newspaper sucks now is because of private equity. And there are, we can look at other stores and other industries where it's been involved where, yeah, the ultimate goal is not to lower prices or bring in new customers. It's a different goal. And I don't want to say that these guys are all evil. And sometimes this strategy works, right? It's just like sometimes venture capital works and sometimes traditional financing works and sometimes bootstrapping works. But if you bring in money from these guys and you are a fan of SEC football or Big 12 baseball, the private equity board and investors are not your friends. They are not working for you.
You know, it's happening with small businesses here in this city and other cities around the country where private equity firms are coming in and buying them up. They're still doing business under the family name, but sure. It's not the family running the business anymore. And it's like you think you're doing business with somebody else, but you're not, because the same private equity firm will own five or six of the small businesses. And then it gets to, well, wait a minute. If the private equity firm owns a bit of LSU and they own a bit of Auburn, who are they pulling for, right?
Sure. And this would be one of the reasons where if I was advising a university, I'd say, I don't think you should do this. Especially because for a university, you know, LSU's president just left, right? Like, presidents typically don't stay here for very long. Athletic directors are seldom at the same spot for more than 8 years. General counsel moves pretty quickly. But it would be a shame for one group of people to sign a deal and then Scott Woodward, you know, I'm not saying he's going to do this, but theoretically takes a job with the Dallas Cowboys and the president leaves and everyone who signed the paper leaves and now everyone else is left holding the bag and a whole lot of debt. What you're describing is actually something that comes up sometimes because a school might contract with a company to help sell sponsorships. Mm-hmm. And that company is also working with one of their bigger rivals or a company that handles your recruiting software or has sensitive payroll information might be working with some of your rivals. I'm not saying that that's automatically a conflict of interest, but it is something that's thought about. Like, do we have more control if we do more of this stuff ourselves? Because you never know.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back. Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Point newsletter. If the government's getting involved with something, I would say they don't let private equity get involved with college sports. 9:43, 17 till 10. Money talks, though. Here's traffic, WWL. 9:50, 10 till 10. Couple of minutes left with Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, talking about the mess that is college athletics and paying the athletes, etc. Matt, you know, I always try to go to the bottom line on this stuff and looking ahead with private equity firms, looking at the prevalence of sports wagering. I think if college athletics ever becomes championship wrestling where the winners are already determined, then it goes away because I don't see any point in people watching it. Is that a concern here or not?
You know, I've asked a lot of people about this, and what I hear from gambling regulators and from folks that work in college sports is that there's not a great deal of concern about gambling fixing the results of games. Mm-hmm. There is, however, a great deal of concern about gamblers working to help shave points. We are better at capturing this and catching it than maybe we were 30 years ago now that gambling is legalized and gambling regulators have a lot more data. But there's so much, particularly in college basketball, there's so many games and so many people that have access to sensitive information about injuries or about playing time and a lot of athletes that still aren't making a whole lot of money where if somebody was really dedicated to in shaving points of ace on basketball, they could do it. And I've heard some kind of distressingly high estimates of how often that sort of thing happens. Now, does that change the validity of the game? That's up to a fan, but that is a significant concern. And I think it probably gets worse before it gets better.
So what happens next? Because I feel like I'm in a wilderness here with foliage everywhere and overgrown weeds and forest and jungles, and I don't even know what the next step is. What do we look to happen next?
What do we look to happen next? I would tell people that there is an enormous college sports industry conference next weekend. It's called NACTA. It's in Orlando. I'll be there, a bunch of other ADs, and everybody in this industrial complex will be there. And it would be fitting if while everybody is in a meeting talking about something else, that's when the House settlement is approved. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's a press release next Monday or Tuesday saying that the judge has either okayed or denied this particular thing. What is frustrating for everybody, including me, I would love to have more stability and predictability here as well. It's just not going to happen between what happens with Congress, what happens with the White House, what happens with numerous other lawsuits. We are probably still several months away from anything resembling a CBA like we have in the NFL or the NBA.
And how does that affect what happens this football season, for example?
Well, they're still going to have one, as I understand it. I think we're all going to enjoy it. There's an open question about what happens with some of the potential salary contracts with some of those athletes and whether they'll be enforceable or whether we'll have some renegotiations or maybe some holdouts leading into the season. But I don't think that anything that happens behind the scenes will change things that much once it's September and the rosters are set and we know the coaches are going to be there and you're going to have a season. And if anything, that's the silver lining for all of this. This industry has been in such constant flux for 150 years. And it's been, in particular flux between realignment and court cases and all these other changes in my lifetime and certainly in my professional career, which started in 2010. And interest in college sports has still never been higher. Mm-hmm. So as frustrating as all of the stuff that I just talked about here was, I don't think this whole thing is going away. If you just want to watch football games this fall, I have good news. They're still going to have them. The Saudis aren't going to own Tiger Stadium this year, so you should still be able to go and tailgate and have a good time.
Let's talk about the Extra Points newsletter real quick. How do people get it?
Folks, you can find it at extrapointsmb.com. You can find me on Twitter at MattBrownEP. There is a free version of the newsletter and a premium version if you want all of our reporting on everything from realignments to video game developments to legal issues in college sports.
Always a pleasure, yet dizzying at the same time. Thank you, Matt Brown. We'll take a break, come back, see what Dave Cohen's got planned for us today on WWL. He's in for Newell.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.